fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Reindeer paws, out jumps good old Santa Claus, down through the chimney with lots of toys, off of the little ones' Christmas joys. Ho, 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 who wouldn't know? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, 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 down through the chimney with old Saint Nick. First comes the stocking of little Nell. Oh dear Santa, filled it well. Give her a dolly that laughs and cries, one that will open and shut her eyes. Ho, 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 who wouldn't know? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, 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 down to the chimney with old Saint Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was great by Reva, by the way. In the world of perverse logic, you cannot let anything surprise you. Surprise, surprise, the Fed announced today it was going to start printing a mere $10 billion less a month starting in January, and the stock market went ape. Not as in a crash. It broke the record again. Lair Adams at Drive Time with the American Adversaries on News Talk 660 WORL. And now you see why I do not play the stock market lotto game. If only these investors would invest enough pride in our nation to bring our stock up. Now for the host and power broker of our show, Christopher Hart.
We'll try to do just that. Thank you so very much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us on this, once again, beautiful, fine evening here in autumn Central Florida. 407-774-8255 is the number. Lair's right. General Ben Bernanke eased into some tapering with some good news and bad news from the market, for the market. The bad news, he started tapering. The good news is there's still $75 billion a year he's going to print up.
A month.
You're absolutely right. Okay, yeah, I hope you guys like the opening of the show tonight with Reba McEntire up on the housetop. And from now through December 23rd, which will be our final show before Christmas, of course, we'll be back on the 26th, but the 24th and the 25th will be off. We're going to play, for our bumps, we're going to play Christmas music, and we're going to try to play the Christmas music you don't hear anywhere else, because we try to do things here that you don't get anywhere else. So we do hope you appreciate it, and we'll tell you the tunes as we play them through tonight. And I in particular would like you to listen to the lyrics of, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's a Vince Gill tune. It's going to be our bumper music in the last break. It's called Breath of Heaven, Mary's Song. I'd really like you to listen to those lyrics because I'm going to refer to them in the final segment. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. It'll be just Lair and I, so it'd be a great time for you guys to call in if you'd like to. But don't forget to keep that phone close, because at some time during this hour, we got a bottle of Roxy Pacifics to give away here on the rocks. That's right, free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, the great all-new natural kelp water. that is great for your skin and your throat, by the way, and your eyes and your ears.
It's Christmas Roxy.
That's right. And Lair's over here fumbling with his Christmas gift. We got a couple of...
It's one of those puzzles, Chris. It's a cardboard box with something in it. And there's no lift. There's no
part
of it.
It's a delicious cake, and we got it. Compliments of the great folks at Salem Communications. And, of course, we want to thank them so very much, not only for thinking of us at Christmas time, but for allowing us to have this airtime and making shows like ours and Carl Jackson's and Marshall Polston's all possible. We really, really are thankful for that.
Chris, do you eat the cardboard with the cake?
You cannot get this thing open. We were talking about the replicating. It was the replicator I was trying to think of last night when we talked about the 3D printer printing
machines.
Out a pizza.
Yes,
remember
uh-huh.
we talked about it?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking on the way home, well, all they had to do for the crust is use cardboard because that's what you get when you go to Domino's. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Remember, I used to work for them many years ago.
If you want real pizza, folks, go to Cafe Positano.
Yeah, it is. It's fabulous pizza.
It's a great restaurant. And please join us there on New Year's Eve. And if you'd like to make reservations, and I suggested if you want to be there on New Year's Eve and have a table, give them a call at 407-774-8080. That's 407-774-8080. And if you have a mind and the time, join us there tomorrow night. Lair and I will be over there with the guys. And
Normally we're there on Wednesday nights. We met a couple of nice people last week on Wednesday night, and normally we're there Wednesday nights, but tonight we're going to head over tomorrow night. So any of you listening, we're not going to be there tonight. We'll be there tomorrow, so please join us.
All right, we got a lot to talk about tonight. The Dirty Dozen that we talked about last night, the dozen Republicans who sided with the Democrats to end the vote for cloture so there wouldn't be a filibuster.
Yeah, now, a dozen is 12, right? It's 12.
Well, the Dirty Dozen has now become the Nasty Nine. We'll tell you who they are. And, of course, we use these terms lovingly. And there's more blues, bad poll numbers for B.O., for Barack Obama, as if he cares.
Oh.
I don't think he really cares. We'll also talk a little bit about one of my favorite television shows, which is Duck Dynasty. Have you ever watched it?
Ever seen an episode?
Well, I think more people are going to be watching this week, even though they're into reruns right now, because the patriarch and one of the stars of the show, Phil Robertson, who's got the whole thing started, he's the one that made
the duck call that
made them all into millionaires. He is in the news because he did not talk to Barbara Walters.
He turned her down.
That's right.
To go duck hunting.
But he did talk to GQ and had some pretty interesting things to say to GQ, which has got him in the news. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk about a Harris poll out. I want to spend most of the second half of the show talking about this Harris poll because it's about Americans' religious beliefs. How many of us believe in God? How many of us believe in Jesus?
Christmas is a religious holiday.
How many of us think God is a man or a woman? It's very interesting results that we'll go through. And then once again, folks, I hope you enjoy the Christmas music. And don't forget, Sunday night we're going to do a Christmas special. And it's going to involve a lot of Christmas music playing start to finish, not just as bump music. If you heard our Christmas special last year, you'll know what I'm talking about. We play the songs all the way through. And we're going to intersperse that with the greatest story ever told, some readings and some other things. And Lair's working on a great closing segment for the show. We can't wait for that, as always. So please tune in on Sunday night right here from 5 to 8. We will be live, and you will be able to call in, but it'll be a Christmas special, and I hope it's one that you will remember. Okay, so the Dirty Dozen turning into the Nasty Nine. It looks like the vote is going to happen any time if they haven't started voting already in the Senate for the final passage of this budget deal, which is just the first in a three-step process to get us through the debt ceiling and
kick the ball down to 2 years from now.
And do something with these fiscal issues. There is still a budget issue they have to address by the middle of next month, or maybe it's by February 2nd. But anyways, in January. And then they have to deal with the debt ceiling proper. And that's probably going to be a March deadline the way it looks right now. They thought it would be February, but it looks like they're going to be able to push it back. Because with even the anemic growth that we're showing, thanks to the sequester cuts too, we're actually actually pulling a little bit closer to a balanced budget, relatively speaking. I mean, the deficits that we're running now, if this were W. Bush and before, these would still be considered unacceptable.
Oh, absolutely.
But with Obama, he has set the bar so low, if you will, or high, however you want to look at it, with the debts. A $400 to $600 billion debt looks pretty good next to a $1.4 trillion one. But anyway...
But we're getting rid of that sequester that was actually bringing the debt down.
Okay, I see now that the Senate vote is just now, it is complete, and it was 64 to 36. And so that is, it fell just the way that people were predicting it to be. That is that the Dirty Dozen, it was 67-33 yesterday, 64-36 now is the nasty nine. Am I reading my numbers right? 67-33, so it would be three less votes. Yeah, okay. The nine who did go ahead and vote with the Democrats were Murkowski from Alaska, McCain from Arizona, Isaacson from Georgia, Collins from Maine, Blunt from Missouri, Haven from North Dakota, Portman from Ohio, Hatch from Utah, and our great friend Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. The three of the 12 who did not vote for the final passage were Flake of Arizona, Chambliss of Georgia, and Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. Thank you, Nick, for putting that up there. So when we have Ron Johnson back, we'll ask him why and see what his logic was in voting this through. As I said, this is now put to rest, but there is another budget issue that will come up in January, and then the debt ceiling, and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and all are making a lot of noise about how they're going to make it a fight over the debt ceiling, and that's the one that they're really going to make their stand on and make Obama.
Yeah.
Exactly. Same old song and dance.
Oh, we're conservatives. We're fighting for you. Yeah. Won't you fight for something we care about?
Yeah, well, we shall see. We shall see. And once again, like I said, hats off to Congressman Webster, because yesterday we revealed, as was revealed in the newspaper, that he voted no in the House on this thing.
And boy, the Orlando Sentinel didn't like it.
No, they didn't like it at all, but that's okay. We like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, folks, we appreciate you being out there. When we come back, we'll talk about the more blues for Barack Obama and Phil Robertson being in the news. That's right, folks. Don't go away. 407-774-8255 is the number.
American Adversaries, we're here through Christmas with you, of course. Don't forget now, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we will take a break. So please listen to whatever the station plays. But again, those
It'll
only 10 days we're
off. Music. Christmas
right.
music. Yeah. I'm starting on Christmas Eve and going through Christmas Day.
Then put 660 on your radio and play it while the family's over there. It's always great to have Christmas music. We are the American Adversaries, and we will be back so fast you won't believe it. Leave it.
One that will open and shut her eyes. Oh, ho, ho, who wouldn't know? Ho, 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 who wouldn't go up?
Jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in jingle bell square. In the frosty air. What a bright time, it's the right time.
That's right, folks, it is the right time to be listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time. And that was Vince Gill. Excuse me, that was Aaron Tippin. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. That was Aaron Tippin with Jingle Bell Rock. Hope you liked it a lot. And don't forget, folks, we'll be playing those Christmas bumps between now and Christmas. Okay, that's right, you are back. We are back, I should say. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we're here with you live. Don't forget to hang on to that phone and stick close to it anyway, because at some point between now and the end of the show, we will give away that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. And I tell you what, Barack Obama may want some of it to put on his wounds, because he's got to be licking them right now. He is getting whipped into polls left and right. Even when the poll numbers bump up a little bit, they're still abysmal for him. And the latest polls out, the Washington Examiner, for instance, is revealing that amongst liberals themselves, not just the general public, but amongst liberals themselves, support for the president unemployment is now at an all-time low in his presidency, and it's now actually, get this, I guess this is pretty bad if you unfortunately want to look at it this way, but it's even lower amongst his liberal support than George W. Bush had amongst conservatives at this point in his presidency.
Whoa.
When they were PO'd at him because he wanted to do a comprehensive immigration bill, and he had expanded the Medicare drug program. A lot of conservatives didn't like that. So
now, Chris, let me ask this. Does that poll break it down to demographics?
Well, like
as far
I say,
as racial demographics?
I don't know. Hmm. But it is amongst liberals as opposed to the population in general. Now, this has to do with the Obamacare and how people who are insured versus uninsured, what they think about it. Only 15% who are insured already think that it will help them in their health care. And that seems logical. I mean, they already have insurance. They bought it themselves. They probably like what they got or will soon have had. They don't see that they needed much help and don't see where it would help. But this is interesting. Only 33% of the uninsured think that it will help them. Now, they're the ones that this thing is aimed at. They're the very ones that it's supposed to help the most. And if only one-third of them think that it will, that's they haven't been doing their sales job very good at the White House in spite of all their efforts.
Or maybe people are understanding it is just a sales job.
Exactly, and especially when their efforts get more and more bizarre, like when they put out videos and advising parents to have that talk about Obamacare with their children over the holidays. I mean, how absurd. In terms of, will Obamacare hurt the insurance industry and you in particular? 32% of the insured think it will hurt. I think that's pretty low. 37% overall people think that it will hurt. 37% of the uninsured think it will hurt. 46% let me go on to the next category. Who disapproves of the law? 53% of the uninsured disapprove of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, very bad sales job. 51% of the insured disapprove of the law. I think that one again is kind of low, but that's what it is. What it is. In terms of who approves of the law, only 38% of the uninsured approve of the law, which once again was designed primarily to get them insured. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Only 40% of the insured approve of the law. So once again, some very, very abysmal poll numbers for Obama. Plus the sign-ups. Only 10% of the people that they wanted to have signed up through the end of November have signed up so far. And once again, this is throwing their calculations all out of whack.
Well, eventually, Chris, Barack and the government are going to have to get punitive, you know, with it. That's the only, I mean, if people just don't sign up, what's the other alternative?
Well,
you people didn't like it. It was a big flop on my part. No, they're eventually, you know, they're going to start talking about being punitive.
Well, they sure will, but that's...
we're going to find you. You just watch.
That's not going to work for them politically, and that's, once again, the beauty of our system. Talking about beauty, Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson, I guess he was not would be what you would consider beautiful, but what he's been doing, I consider...
Well, as much of him as you can see.
He's got the long ZZ Top-type beard and everything, and he's his man's man. I mean, he is his own man, and he's not going to, you know, let public opinion or protocol, if you will, sway him. Barbara Walters is a chosen the Duck Dynasty family as one of what does she do, a top 10 people of the year or whatever, the specialist tonight. Miley Cyrus is one of them, by the way. And But she went to Louisiana to interview the family.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all evidently supposed to be there, and at least the ones who were on television. And Phil Robertson didn't show up, and why did he not show up, Lair?
He was duck hunting. a duck hunter does.
Duck hunting season. He wasn't going to miss a day of duck hunting, so he'd rather hunt ducks than talk to Barbara Walters any old day of the week, and much to her chagrin. But he did talk to GQ Magazine, and in the interview with GQ Magazine, he had some interesting comments about homosexuality. And I'm not going to go into... Let me just say, I'm not going to quote him, but basically he expressed dismay as to why one man would find another man attractive. Let me just leave it at that.
Okay.
But it has, of course, caused quite a stir amongst the liberals and in the gay community, because anybody that expresses any sort of view that is in no way of their approval, they jump all over it. And, of course, he's not going to back down. They're threatening to boycott A&E. They're threatening to boycott his sponsors. This show has been breaking records
for
the ratings that it's getting. And I'll guarantee you those ratings are going to go up. Not down.
And any network that fires them, how many other networks are going to say, okay?
Well, as far as Phil Robertson goes, I'm sure he couldn't give a lesser hoot.
He's already a millionaire.
Many times over, they're doing quite well. And those duck calls and all now, all the paraphernalia with the hats and the tea glasses like Psy uses. And by the way, Psy's book, Psychology, that's S-Y-cology, is still on the top 10 bestseller list. Both Psy and Phil and Willie, their son who runs the corporation now, have all had books on the top 10 bestseller list for weeks at a time. I believe now Size may have outdone the other fellas. But it is a highly successful show, and it's successful because they do what he did. In other words, what he did with GQ magazine was what you'll find on the show. Now, they've not brought that subject up on the show, but what I'm saying is they are famous. They are famous. They are popular because they are who they are.
Well, and on the other hand, too, these people won't be affected by this, Chris, because they won't let it. They're going to handle this the same way Schwarzenegger did when he used the term girly men.
Well,
those girly men out there.
That's what I'm saying.
And he took heat over it. And he just said, I don't care. Look, I'm not going to get into it.
This, I believe I heard Dennis Miller say, this enhances their brand. You know, this enhances what they're all
country
about.
Country boy.
Exactly. And saying it like it is.
And not the country boys on Brokeback Mountain.
And he said it in a way not to be offensive. It was very matter of fact and I thought very effective the way he said it.
Well,
I just feel sort of uncomfortable saying it on a drive time show.
But, well, you'll have to tell me during the break what he really said.
You can read it in GQ magazine. But anyway, if you want to make a comment about that, give us a call, 407-774-8255. And don't forget, sometime in the next half hour, we will give away that bottle of Roxy Pacifics on the rocks.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Boger of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, the president finds himself being marginalized as he finishes just the first year of his second term. He seems desperate to complete unfinished business. To that end, he's brought in some heavy-hitting help.
Chris, that's right, because his polls and his approval rating are the lowest ever, as we all know, and we understand the reasons why. So you would think that he would bring in people that might help anybody who's to the left or to the right of his crazy politics. And what he's done is he's brought in people who are just going to further his own socialist, in my opinion, his socialist ideals. And one of those people is John Podesta, who is probably the most well-known of Obama's new aides. And Podesta is known for being as far to the left of the left as you possibly can be.
As a matter of fact, he was a chief of staff for former President Clinton during the last years of his office, in particular when President Clinton was issuing all of those controversial pardons. And also, and more troubling, is that John Podesta is very resourceful at finding new and unique uses of the executive order.
Well, and that's actually what, in my opinion, is Obama's whole method of running the government. The more that we can use the executive order, the more that we can use the office to meet whatever needs or whatever wants that he desires, that's what he's going to do. So Podesta is an expert at this. Podesta is a true leftist. He has been a leftist, and he's an unapologetic leftist. And that is the complete opposite of what we need in the White House right now. But it just goes to show that Obama is doing the same of everything and surrounding himself with the people that push his agenda and push it as far to the left, Chris, as you can possibly go.
And one of Podesta's pet projects is global climate change. So look out. The EPA just got a whole lot tougher. Okay, thanks, Ted. Don't forget, folks, you'll find the whole story at SoundbiteRx.com. So please be sure to take that cure for ignorance at SoundbiteRx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. Folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. We're winding up for Christmas here with some great Christmas music. That was She Daisy with What Child Is This? Hope you enjoyed it. And once again, folks, listen in Sunday night when we're going to play these tunes all the way through and intersperse some great readings and the greatest story ever told. Okay, welcome back to the show, and I tell you what, that stuff puts me in a Christmas mood, so why don't we go ahead and give away that free bottle of Roxy Pacifics right now? How about that, Larry? Should we?
I think we should do that, Chris. Go ahead, give them the details.
First phone caller at 407-774-8255 gets tonight's free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, the all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. Works on just about anything, right, Larry?
That's right, and again, folks, I can't stress enough, when I had my laryngitis, I've tried treatments for laryngitis before, and I could barely, and the next day, after gargling with warm Roxy, actually using your vocal cords, like that, and it did. Next day, it was like, 50, 60% better? The day after that, I was cured.
Wow. It's great stuff. First caller, 407-774-8255. And if you'd like to get your own bottle of Roxy Pacifics and not try to get it, or if it makes a great gift item, folks, and you can get a bottle for as low as $15, actually $10, because between now and Christmas, your orders are $5 off per bottle. And you can go to roczeypacificswithanx.net. That's roxypacifics.net. Or give Ed a call at 619-654-4829. That's 619-654-4829.
Chris, you know, when we talk to Ed, I have to ask him if anybody's ever used this in a neti pot.
Okay.
You know what a neti pot is?
No.
That's that pot that you can get it. It's at the drugstore. Every drugstore sells them. You put liquid in, usually warm liquid, and you pour it in your sinuses.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I have seen
a lot of people have great success.
All right. Okay. Tina from Winter Garden, congratulations to you. You have won tonight's free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. That's Tina from Winter Garden. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow night we'll do it again. Friday night, Sunday night, Monday night. And it's all on the rocks. That's from Ed Roxy at Roxy Pacifics. Great stuff. Everybody needs to have some of this in your medicine cabinet. And once again, folks, it would make a great gift idea. Okay, I want to talk about a new Harris poll that just came out about America's religious beliefs. Because I want to conclude tonight's show with, well, I'll just do it when we do it. But let me just go to these poll results. This is the latest Harris poll. This was taken in November, let's see, November 13th through the 18th of this year. 2,500 American adults 18 years and older of all walks of life. All right. Of this poll results, it tells us that 74% of Americans believe in God. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah, well, but it's down from 82% just a few years ago, excuse me, about 10 years ago. 72% of us believe in miracles. I thought that was kind of high, but that's actually down from 79%. 68% of us believe in heaven. That's down from 75%. 68% of us believe in Jesus. That's down from 70%. 65% of us believe in the resurrection of Jesus. That's down from 70%. Okay, let me see here. Darwinism, on the other hand, the belief in Darwinism has gone up from 47% from 42%. 36% of us believe in creationism. Oddly enough, 36% of us also believe in UFOs. I presume it's not the same 36%. 29% of us believe in astrology. And this is where it gets interesting. And when it comes to absolute certainty in God, 54% of us are absolutely certain. That's down from 66% in 2003. Are you guys beginning to see a trend here? In terms of demographics and who absolutely believes in God, blacks top the list with 70%. Republicans come in next with 65%. Older Americans, 62%. Baby boomers, 60%. People with a high school diploma or less, 60%. I guess the smarter you become, the stupider you become in a way, huh? And then finally, is God male or female? Who sees themselves as very religious? In terms of God being male or female, 39% of Americans believe that God is male. 1% only believe that God is female. 31% believe that God is neither. Now, I don't know if that's they're trying to say something about the nature of God or if many of these people are atheists, but evidently some of them at least are saying something about the nature of God being neither male or female.
Yeah, non-genderized.
Exactly. And then 10%, and I will include myself in this category, believe that God is both. 19% of Americans consider themselves to be very religious. 40% consider themselves to be somewhat religious, and that is down from 49% in 2007. 20th, and this is perhaps one of the most disturbing of all, and it is the final statistic here. 23% of Americans consider themselves 23% of Americans consider themselves to be not at all religious. And why is that troubling? That is up from only 12% in 2007. So in a mere 6 years, that has almost doubled. So the trend has been in the wrong direction. The trend has been moving away from God. And these numbers are the down froms, the change could have been several years ago or it could have been up to 10 years ago. But nonetheless, you see that the trend is moving away from a belief in God.
Well, Chris, I'll be honest with you. I think I have a reason for you here. To me, it's secularism and media, government and education.
That is entirely a part of the process. You're absolutely. And taking God out of the schools, secularizing our educational process, it all has a bearing on this. This, I think, now explains. There was another poll out. I wanted to talk about it last week, but we just didn't have time. In terms of trust, Americans' trust, not only in government or in a particular official like, say, President Obama, but in Americans, mm-hmm. in your neighbors, mm-hmm. trust mm-hmm. amongst Americans is very low. I think there's a direct correlation.
Yep.
As we turn away from God, we turn sort of into ourselves, and we begin to be distrustful of everyone else in the world.
Chris, if government is your God and you don't trust your government, you're not going to trust anyone.
Exactly right. those are the numbers. That the trend is going in the wrong direction. We need to turn that trend around. However, there are some positives. When 72% of Americans still believe in miracles, maybe one will just happen, and we'll turn these numbers around. Let's see what Sixto thinks. Thanks for calling in tonight, Sixto. We appreciate you being out there.
Evening, gentlemen.
Thank you for calling.
The topic hit a chord with me because I know you mentioned the church, Bibles not being allowed and prayer and all that since the 60s. But, I believe that it's been the constant. There's so many distractions in the world right now. But when you have the freedom that the media has now,
yep,
with half religion, you have the separation of state, of government and religion, which is not in the Constitution. It's just in the letter that Jefferson wrote to a Baptist church that Supreme Court decided to make it as official.
You're talking about the separation, so-called separation between church and state.
Yeah, it was just a letter that was written to the Baptist church by Jefferson. It had none. It was no law, no policy, no.
It was an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because from the founding of this country and even individual states, they all had in there that people had to be of high moral character and all that. And I think that that's a big part of it now. That since for the past 30 years, people don't want to say there's any black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. To them, there's a gray area. And you got so many people now that, and I think it falls back on the parents too, but when you attack religion with 20 years ago, you didn't see what's going on right now, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
People don't make a big deal out of it. And when you don't have parents that are totally committed to teaching their kids about, right and wrong, and, everything that we have, all the laws, majority of the laws around the world are based, loosely on the Ten Commandments and the things that came out of the Old Testament.
Yeah, I thank you for your call, Sixto. We appreciate it, and I appreciate your point. You're quite right, but I think what you're elaborating on, what you're kind of talking around, is what Lair said. We're secularizing the world, and this is proof of it right here. The secularists have to be happy. They can't. I'm sure that they're discouraged that the numbers are still as high as they are, but they have to be happy that they're moving in their direction. We have to stop that and reverse it.
Sure, and to Sixto's point too, Chris, with liberals, they don't want black and white on decisions. They only want the gray areas, because how do you make decisions when everything is gray? Sometimes when it's black and white, then the decision is easy and okay, I can make a decision. Well, but when everything is gray and...
Well, that's why the liberal likes the gray world, because it's relative. It can always change. It can always be different. Well, things changed. That's why it's different now. Barack Obama, he didn't lie. Things have changed, even though he knew they were going to change. By the way, there was a couple I left out, and I want to bring these in, because I think maybe these help explain a little bit of something, because I think that people are just becoming discouraged overall. And I think we can look to the top as to why. In terms of life after death, 64% of Americans, and you would think that people who believe in Jesus believe in this, but only 64% of Americans believe in life after death. That's down from 69%. Once again, the trend down. The virgin birth, 57% believe. That's down from 60%. This is an interesting one. The people who believe in the devil and or hell is down to 58% from 62%. So people are actually just beginning to are believing less and less in anything. And that is, none of that is good. And if anything, people need to be believing more in the devil. That's for sure, because he'll steer you wrong. But we will not steer you wrong, folks. You're guaranteed of that. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time. We have one more segment to go. And like I said, I'm sure you're enjoying all the music, but in particular, please listen to the lyrics of The Bump as we come back into the next segment.
Thank you. many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come, chosen my love to care. I'm waiting in a silent prayer. I'm troubled by the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be
okay, folks, you don't have to be worried about walking alone. Between 5 and 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, and 5 to 8 on Sundays, you will have the American Adversaries drive time to help you get through the evening. I wanted to use that song in particular. By the way, that was Vince Gill, Breath of Heaven, Mary's Song. Because when Larry and I started this show, one of the reasons why we did it is because we have an appreciation for what we have. We know that we have it really good in this country. And neither Larry and I came from a rich family. Middle class, I guess you'd call us, right?
Maybe lower middle.
Yeah. But we are so appreciative of what we have. And we were seeing so many people thinking that what we have is gone. That it will never be anymore again. And it's just not that way. But the reason why I wanted you to listen to the lyrics closely of that song is because one of the lyrics is, what have I done? We have been chosen, so to speak. What have we done to be here? Well, what we have done was we were born into the bar none greatest country in the history
ever existed
in the history of this planet. And it is a gift to us. But it is something, the lyrics went on talking about how Mary now has the burden of carrying the child of God. Well, we have the burden of carrying this government forward because it is a creation of God. It was inspired by our Creator. Our founding fathers recognized that. They asked for that guidance, and they received it. And this was given not just as a gift to Americans, but don't you understand? Ronald Reagan said this so many times in so many different ways so well with the city on the hill. This country was given to the world. And that is why it is so very important that we preserve it, that we save it, that we do not let it to be destroyed. And whatever that takes, it is worth it. It is worth it. Because there is, as Lair said, there's been no other government like this. There will never be a government like this.
Well, in 1776, a baby was born, this country.
That's right. That's right. Only in this story...
With a promise.
Only in this story, the good news doesn't come from the death of the baby, eventually. The good news comes from the life of it. That's the only difference. But now it is ours to carry. It is ours to carry forward. And as we enter the Christmas season here, you know, we've come out of Thanksgiving where we give thanks for the country. But really, this is the time of year where we show appreciation to one another. And all I can say is show appreciation to your neighbors. Forget about the politics for a few days. Just show them some appreciation. Show them that there is a good reason to believe in God, to believe in our country, to believe in good things in this world. Because we can make them happen. They will not happen on their own. We got to do it. And that's why I'm so appreciative. You know, when Larry came up with the idea of this show, that he gave me the opportunity to do this because it has been a grand opportunity, and I'm so thankful for it. Because, as I said, what we have is so very, very precious, and we should be so very, very happy to have it. And so be so very, very happy to be, if you want to call it, as the song did, burdened with the obligation to preserve it.
Well, that's why this time of year is the time of year for people to go out of their way to show something to someone, to help someone, to give something to someone.
It's right. So, folks, please.
Help out that old person that needs a hand on the house. That's right.
That's right. You know, give in some way and let your example. Let your example shine through. Once again, that is the beauty of our country. That is what Ronald Reagan saw in it, is that the example that we set. And don't let people come along and try to discourage you with, oh, we torture and, oh, the CIA. Forget all that nonsense.
Or you're foolish for believing a certain belief.
With all its warts, the United States is still a gift of God. And we should appreciate it as such, treat it as such, carry it forward as such, and remember that at any moment, if we lose this gift, then what will we say to our children? What will we say? Sorry, Charlie. Well, that ain't going to cut.
Hey, if we lose this gift, we probably lose our children.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, folks, I want that to be an inspiring thing. I don't want it to be a discouraging thing. But when you see these numbers going in that direction, the obligation for us is just scaled up that little bit more. But that's okay, because we are the ones that were kind of chosen. What did Obama say? We're the ones we've been waiting for? Well, I'm not that arrogant, but I will say this, that if God is inspiring us, he's inspiring us to do his purpose and his will for him, and we should be glad of it no matter what it is.
And don't let anybody, like Chris says, don't let anybody dissuade you and try to say, oh, you're too off base. You're not thinking the way you should think as an American. You have to be more encompassing of people. Sorry. Make decisions.
That's right. And we set the example there because we sure don't really care. But, folks, we certainly care that you're in our audience. We love you so very much and hope that you will stay with us as we enter into the new year. Okay. That's pretty much going to do it for tonight. Now, tomorrow night, we are going to have a full house in here.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
We're jamming everybody in here.
They're all in studio.
Colonel Danny McKnight's going to join us in studio. It's his regular monthly visit. But I decided, why don't we just make it sort of our own little Christmas party here? So Mike McBath and Reggie Branch are going to join us.
No way, not those
guys.
Of
course, Colonel McKnight is a huge FSU fan.
Sure.
And they're going to be playing for the national title. Dr. Ken is going to be here. And Jeff Dowdy, our man in the Zimmerman case, is going to be here. So we're going to have a great show tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Don't forget, we're going to have another bottle of Roxy Pacifics to give away.
Hey, we're going to have a bottle here in the studio, and I'm not talking about Roxy. We're going to have a Christmas party. Oh, no, sorry, folks. That was off the side.
Don't forget to join us tomorrow night at Cafe Positano and New Year's Eve, 407-774-8080, to make your reservations.
You folks are the best. Have a wonderful evening.
Night, everybody.
News Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com.
Division of Salem Communications.
On the NASDAQ, it's SAM.